Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. Today, you're joining us for the Congregation at Prayer. Today is September 24th, 2020, Thursday. It's good to be with you all and to hear God's word and to consider what he has to say to us today. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's say our memory verse for this week. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, verse 10. Our psalm is Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading today is from Hebrews chapter 9. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. There ends the reading. Of course, a reminder, we're studying the book of Hebrews now on our Wednesday evening Bible class, so you can, I think I actually referred to this text in particular at one point last night. You can go watch that on replay. All right, our reading for catechesis, not a long one, but rich. Numbers chapter 6. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, Lord, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. There ends the reading. Okay, so what were Aaron and his sons to do, according to this text? To bless the children of Israel. You'll note, as you probably, well, maybe have noticed previously, or you were catechized to see, the blessing here, we call it the benediction, from the Latin, is threefold. Why do you think it has three, if you like, components? Yeah, that's right. The true God is the Holy Trinity. Now, which person of the Trinity is associated with being the source of every blessing? Who of the three persons of the Trinity is the source of every blessing? Well, everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who's the giver? God the Father. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And again, for God the Father did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Comes up again in John 6. So John 3 in connection with baptism, John 6 in connection with the Lord's Supper. It says, all that the Father gives me, the Son, will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, of all who he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Again, the question is, who is the source of every blessing? One more text. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. This is James 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, the Son, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So yes, the source of every blessing is the Father. Now, why is the face so important? Why is a face so important? Just in a practical sense, not even a theological one. It's how you know and recognize a person, right? And you probably all know this quite well at the moment, how difficult, even impossible sometimes it is to communicate with people when their part of their face is covered. Not only is the sound muted, but you can't read facial expressions, you can't read their lips, all the cheekbones, a whole section of their face is covered. And it impairs communication, right? And sometimes even impairs your ability to recognize a person for who they are, right? Whether that's intentional or not. Now we could get into theories of conspiracy, okay? The word for face here is sometimes translated as presence. So who is the face or the presence of God? All right, well, Exodus 33 would be one place to look. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? All right, so his presence, whose name might that be? Mm-hmm. I'll give you another example. You probably already know the answer. Isaiah 63. For he said, surely they are my people, the children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them, right? But you have the angel of his presence, the Savior. Well, of course, this is Jesus then, right? So when to see, no one sees the face of God and lives unless they see God through his Son, whose Son, of course, face we have seen, whose glory is revealed to us. So how is the face of God then gracious to us? He says, face shine upon you and be gracious to you. All right, so if the face is God in Christ, how is that the source then of grace, that is God's favor? Consider John 1. And the full, and of his fullness, Christ's fullness, we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through, there it is, Jesus Christ. Importantly, John 1 verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, right? So we see God through the Son. The Son makes the Father known and reveals the Father's love, that is his grace and mercy. All right, which person of the Trinity comes from the face to give us peace? Lifting up his countenance. Who is the one who comes to bring peace? Maybe for this, think of what Jesus says in John 19. Yeah, this is at the cross. He says, it is finished. And then bowing his head, who did he give up? He gave up his spirit. And then, of course, in his resurrection, the next chapter, chapter 19, he appears that same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, so this would be Sunday evening, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Right? And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So he said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you. And here's the important part. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained, right? So you see, the gift of peace is attached to the gift of God the Holy Spirit. All right. What was placed on the Israelites to bless them, according to verse 27? Yeah, the name of the Lord. What is meant by saying, or excuse me, let's before we do that, when was God's name put upon you? Yeah, in your baptism, right? In holy baptism. What is meant then by saying that God's name blesses? Right? You see, his name is on Israel and I will bless them. How does God's name bless you? I think for this, maybe the Proverbs 18 would be a good example. Yeah. The name of the Lord, this is Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his own esteem, right? But for us, the name of the Lord is our strong tower, that we bear his name. We are. Well, we have adapted that in a way by saying we're Christian. What is it? How does God's name bless us? Because we have God's name upon us, since we are marked by him, it is our protection against attacks of the devil, the world, and our flesh. By what means does God bless his people? By the way, blessing means to give, right? Is the word for giving. How does he bless his people? By speaking to them. Yeah. His word declares and is the blessing. We call these words in our liturgy, this whole section we call, especially 24 to 26, the benediction. which is just the Latin word for blessing. Why do we, when we have this in the context of the divine service, why do we say amen? Actually, we sing it amen, 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 threefold, right? Yeah, that amen is saying we agree, we believe. It's true to confess that he has truly blessed us with his word, which is why it's at the end of the divine service. Having been blessed by God's word, we agree with that declaration from the pastor. Meditation on this. God blesses his people by declaring them saved by his name. The word of God is the means by which we are set apart as his own in holy baptism. There, our Lord graciously declares us righteous and gives us a tower of refuge, the name of the Holy Blessed Trinity. The divine service closes with this benediction and the response of faith, Amen. It is the confession of the baptized that there is no salvation apart from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose name is our only strength and shield. As Aaron and his sons were the means of imparting that blessing to the people, so now the office of the Holy Ministry is God's means of declaring this saving name and its benediction to his people. All right. Let's confess the seventh commandment. You shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. What is the eighth commandment? You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in the seventh commandment, you teach us that all of our possessions and income are gifts of your love. You have given us our daily work and earthly resources that we might serve our neighbor in need. For Jesus' sake, forgive us our sins of selfishness and greed, of being stingy and making a god out of our money and possessions, of cheating others to get what we don't deserve, of being lazy in our daily tasks, of working only for the benefit of ourselves. We thank you for the privilege of being able to share your love and care for others through the daily work and temporal gifts you have given us. Grant us your grace and compassion in Jesus that we might be faithful stewards of these gifts, using them according to your will to help our neighbors in need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, forgive us our sins of giving false testimony against our neighbor and strengthen our faith in Jesus so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything about him in the kindest way. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On this Thursday, we pray for the church and her pastors. We pray for all missionaries, especially the Federowitz family. We pray for teachers, especially our teachers here at St. John, including Mr. Tarr, who is going to be entering a new field of service. Pray for our deaconesses and all other servants of Christ in his church, I suppose especially our church musicians. We pray for the fruitful and salutary use of the blessed sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. We pray for all our first responders, doctors, nurses, and those who work in nursing homes and hospitals. We pray for an end to all fear, anxious thoughts, and constant worry, trusting that God will provide all that is needed in every circumstance. We pray for deliverance from pestilence, sedition, and rebellion. We pray for those whose conscience and heart seeks justice, but struggle under the weight of injustice in this world. Pray for all of our military, National Guard, other law enforcement personnel, especially as they deal with riots throughout our nation. We pray in thanksgiving for the gift of life, birthday celebrated by William today. We also pray in thanksgiving for the gift of healing granted to Carol. We pray for those who are ill, who have had surgery, who are undergoing treatment, or who are recovering. The Lord grant healing according to his will. Marcella, Jan, Ron, Marlene, Brad, Janet, Timothy, and Pastor Lindau. Sandy, Linda, Joan, Ken, Aaron, Roger, Steve, and Jean. Pray for my family as we continue to grieve the death of my aunt. Pray for Bev, David, Willis, Janice, and Mickey, who are isolated at home. And we pray for the Orphan Grain Train, our mission of the month. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. I pray the collect for this week. O Lord, we implore you, let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church. And because she cannot continue in safety without your aid, preserve her evermore by your help and goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, we pray our hymn for this week. Abide, O dearest Jesus. Good way to close.
Abide, O dearest Jesus, among us with your grace, that Satan may not harm us, nor we to sin give place. Abide, O dear Redeemer, among us with your word, and thus now and hereafter, through peace and joy of God. Abide with heavenly brightness among us, precious light. Your truth direct and keep us from error's gloomy night. Abide with riches, blessings among us, bounteous Lord. Let us in grace and wisdom grow daily through your word. Abide with your protection among us, Lord, our strength. Lest world and Satan fail us and overcome at length. Abide, O faithful Savior, among us with your love. Grant steadfastness and help us to reach our home above.
All right, that concludes our congregation of prayer for today, September 24th, 2020. So glad to have you with us today, praying with all the saints both here and throughout, I guess, the country. especially those here in Sherman Center. Lord be with you. Again, as I said in the middle of the devotion, again, it's worth repeating again and again that you can watch last evening's Bible study on the book of Hebrews. We jumped into chapter 1, got about as far as I actually expected to. We went through the prologue, because it's not exactly a letter, it's a sermon, but it reads like a book too. So the telegraphs is the word I used. It anticipates all the themes, really, both of the book of Hebrews, but really of the New Testament, in four short verses. It's really beautiful and it's really dense. It's worth going and watching that catechesis, I think, or I hope it's worth it for you, so that, you better understand what the writer is conveying. So, Lord be with you all again, and we'll see you tomorrow.